Are we good? Are we recording here too? Everything's live? We're live? Hot dog! Live from the landing strip in Houston, Texas. It's the 427th edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
This is Chris.
And thank you so much for tuning in today, guys. We very much appreciate it. If you're watching this live, go ahead and log into your YouTube account. That way I can see you if you decide that you want to interact with us. You know, you could, you know, fact check, say hi, talk shit, whatever. I'll see it here, and I will involve you as best as I can as in the show. If you're not watching us live, that's okay. You can still interact with us on Facebook, facebook.com/Houston Wrestling Radio. Chris!
My man!
What up?
All Out was last weekend.
All Out was last weekend.
At your place.
At my place. Mm-hmm.
Your biggest highlight from the show.
We want to jump right on in?
Yeah.
Main event of the show? Mm-hmm. Main event. I absolutely adored that main event. Start to finish, from right before everybody's coming out of the curtain to all the shenanigans after. I absolutely adored everything that happened in this match. It was art. It was story. It was told very well. It was flattering to both competitors for their actual in-ring ability, but it also showcased MGF's capability of telling a story without doing too damn much. And I think that's something that a lot of detractors, all the folks that are in the cult of corny, that say that, oh, these type of super indie people and the super indie style is just, you're doing too much. MJF doesn't do too much, right? He gets a fucking clothesline over. He gets what's essentially a drop kick over, mm-hmm. right? And it seems like it's devastating. Oh my God, you know? So I loved it. I love the actual action in the ring. I love the story. I love the false finish. I love the actual finish. Yes, I loved the actual finish. I loved everything that happened afterwards. Yeah. I don't think I could find a flaw. I know other people have found flaws, but I disagree with those flaws.
Are there our opinion of flaws? Mm-hmm. So, there's a lot about AEW in, as a whole.
Yeah.
That I'm going to shit on.
Okay.
As a guy that was at the first All In.
Yeah.
But the guy that was at the first Double or Nothing, the first actual pay-per-view.
Yeah.
The guy that went to the first Collision. Mm-hmm. I'm going to crap a lot on AEW.
Okay.
But sometimes you need a lot of manure to grow some gardens. This was... We didn't get a chance to talk about this in the moment because you had a metric fuck ton of people at your place.
I wouldn't say that many, but yeah.
We couldn't get a chance to break things down and just shoot the shit like we normally would.
Okay.
I'm going to just say it. That's my match of the year for AEW right now.
I agree.
Damn! We don't even need to guess the game. Like, the 2 out of 3 falls, FTR versus fucking Bullet Club Gold. I'm getting goosebumps right now just mentioning the name.
Yeah.
So they earned all their flowers. They're fucking... Yeah.
Yeah.
There, but that was just from start to finish, wrestling. If you're a fan of old school 80s, old school 70s, 80s tag team pro wrestling, you will get off without any Viagra multiple times. This main event for All Out had just a little bit extra in the actual storytelling because we've been invested in this story for months as opposed to 3 weeks, four right. weeks thrown together on Collision, no fault of their own, but just thrown together on Collision to fill TV time that turned out to be fucking, no pun intended, gold. This was just a little bit more. It had that je ne sais quoi, that little that you sprinkle on top.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what this match had.
Yeah.
I couldn't find any flaw in the match itself. It did something else, though, which is why I wanted to say it's my match of the year contender for AEW. Even up to this point, and even now, with Dynamite that happened last night, I don't see Cole as a main event talent.
What's up, Dat Pro guy?
I don't see Adam Cole as a main event guy.
You don't?
I don't.
Before or after this match?
Both.
Okay.
But in the moment, 80,000 people with MJF, with the story behind it, for those 30 minutes, MJF convinced me that Cole was worthy to be in the ring with him.
Wow. Okay. Okay. I don't think I am of that opinion that MJF or that Adam Cole is not a main eventer. If anything, I feel like MJF had more to prove. Oh, yeah. And I think that you look at MJF last year, Double or Nothing last year, right? Not this past Double or Nothing, but you know the one in Vegas that me and Porsche went to. MJF hadn't had a match where he showcased anything.
That was the one where he got jobbed to Wardlow, basically.
He got jobbed to Wardlow. And everybody expected him to job to Wardlow. Why? Because he was a cowardly heel who couldn't do shit, who always had Wardlow do shit for him.
This was his comeuppance.
So there was a lot of people that thought MJF was not a good wrestler, and they covered it by his character and him getting somebody else out there to do. And then slowly, over the course of the last like year and a half. We've been seeing MJF do more in the ring and show that he's capable and that he's competent and that he knows what the fuck he's doing without being over super indie-rific, which I fucking love. That being said, I think he's still on that come-up trajectory, whereas Adam Cole has been in the main event everywhere he goes. He's been in ROH main event. He's been in NXT main event. I still see him as a main eventer, and I'm sure there was a lot of people that had doubts of, oh, what is Adam Cole doing with this jabron?
What makes Adam Cole end the show when you got at least half dozen guys that you could see with the AEW title around them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't expect for you to just up and agree with what I was going to want to say, which is I wanted to try to do the thumbs thing and, you know, argue for this match to be the AEW contender for match of the year. I thought I was going to have to build my case because there was a conversation that I had with Arnold, who is in the live chat. What's up, Arnold? At work. I had to have a conversation with him at work because he did not like the finish. Right?
Yeah.
But I had to point something out to him. I thought that it was perfect for two reasons. Reason number one is that the first encounter that they had time limit draw, the earlier in the night, it was a double pin. Mm-hmm. Here, it was just a lucky quote-unquote roll-up, and MJF brought that shit up in that little kerfuffle at the end where he even was telling Adam Cole, I just got lucky, and threw the title at him. Like, the actual actions and the finish of the match wove itself into the actual storyline of what's happening with those two. I thought that was, chef's kiss, brilliant. Reason number two why I really like it, this was a main event at Wembley. 1992, Brett versus Bulldog. How did that end?
Bulldog won with the roll-up. Well, Brett did the sunset flip. Bulldog just put his legs down.
Just pinned him. Yeah. It was just a flash pin. Yeah. So I thought that was a brilliant callback. Mm-hmm. Oh, and I loved it. It was so poetic. If you're ever going to do a fucking roll-up, this was the way to do it, man. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I agree 100%. Yeah. Let's throw this on our candidate for match of the year for AEW. Yeah. In the AEW column, in the AEW category.
FTR and Bullet Club Gold had a good run.
Yeah.
That was a fucking banger of a match. This one.
Yeah.
Edged out. Photo finish for me.
Yeah.
It's good. It's damn good.
In the live chat, Dat Pro Guy says, dude, even if people who didn't know the story, they were drinking out of the palm of their hands during the duration of that match. Bell to curtains. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they were. Arnold says MJF has definitely had a meteoric rise in the last year here in the last year's since the last year's All Out. Damn, I couldn't get that out. Dat Pro, anyone who has paid real attention to MJF besides his indie days with the former Hawkins, Myers, yeah, whatever you want to call him, already knew just how good the guy actually is in the ring. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he says, I love the finish. It sets up to continue so well. And they could draw once again, not to mention potential for Cole and Roddy, and then go on to outwork everyone in a barn burner. Yeah.
No.
A lot of stuff can bridge off from here, which we kind of saw on Wednesday. Now, Roddy and the rest of the Kingdom, which I really find it interesting that it's like a member from Undisputed Era and members from the Kingdom both bringing up the past with valid points, right? I'm just loving this. I love it so much.
So if we're going to fast forward, if we're going to keep coupling the train from Sunday to now, there's things I like and there's things that I can't like. Not that I can't, but I can't like it. Like,
you cannot like things. It's
example.
Fine.
The argument that I made for Adam Cole, I will double down with Roddy. I don't see him as a main event guy. They are beyond fortunate that they're right now in the storyline with the world champion.
Okay.
And they're ROH champions.
All right.
Now, does it make obvious sense that the winners of the Battle Royal that happened last night for the tag title shot, for the ROH tag title shot at All Out, be Kingdom? Cool. I get it. Do I expect Roddy to win the tournament so that he can continue this feud with Adam Cole and actually try to beat MJF? Cool. I get it. I like it. Do I like the fact that what I mentioned earlier off air, that your biggest pay-per-view of the year and your world titles not being defended, your tag titles are not being defended? You know, it just, your women's title isn't defended either. So I'm not paying for an ROH pay-per-view. This is supposed to be their annual all-out pay-per-view.
Right.
You know, and it just, that's part of the problem of, oh, we're doing this again next year. You better lay out a lot of stuff. You better have your champ do double duty, or you better figure out what the road to next year is going to look like, because I'm not looking forward to this. This show, All Out, coming out, nowhere near sold out. There's $40 tickets. There's $60 tickets. There's $80 tickets on Ticketmaster. No scalper. You can just buy them straight from the site. I don't know how much they've sold, but I can tell you they haven't sold all of them, which has been pretty much a highlight every year up to this point. And that's before we get to the low point of the pay-per-view.
So I want to say this. If we want to look ahead to next year, right, which TK already got up on there, said that they're taking All In back to Wembley again next year. Mm-hmm. Here's what I would like. Because All In, you know, was the first pay-per-view that would eventually become, you know, AEW, and because All Out is kind of now iconic, and they have the names in, out, I would like for this to be maybe more cohesive together. And I think that's what you're getting at, but I have an idea that I just kind of want to throw out there. On the press conference, which you didn't watch, you left, right? On the press conference, TK said, the reason why the calendar worked out this way is because in England,
bank holiday.
There was a bank holiday, right?
Yeah.
So have it on a Sunday, bank holiday, long weekend, you can draw more people. Cool. The reason why All Out is this particular weekend is because Labor Day. Long holiday weekend. You can draw more people. Da, 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 right? So here's my thought. If you insist on keeping this schedule, which I don't agree with the schedule, but I see the reasoning, right? I don't think I've ever agreed with a wrestling company have two pay-per-views back-to-back. Back-to-back weekends, right? But if we were to do it because of this reasoning of the holidays that, okay, if you really want to do that, think of this as your two nights of Wrestle Kingdom or your two nights of WrestleMania. All In is night one. All Out is night two, and they affect each other. Okay? So you could have your, oh, night one, you know, you got to have a so-and-so or Batista versus Daniel Bryan, and whoever wins goes on to face fucking Roman Reigns on night two, right? You could do something like that, right? So, main event of night one, Better Than You, Bebe, defends the ROH Tag Team Championship, and then main event of night two, they go at it against each other, right? Mm-hmm. And night one is Sunday, All In, and then the next Sunday, All Out. Have it cohesive where they work off of each other. Hell, you could do a fucking 8-man tournament and have all the way up to the fucking finals, or up to the semifinals be the night one, and then have the finals be night two. Like that kind of thing, right? But this definitely feels like it was two separate pay-per-views where they focused so much on one that they forgot about the other. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. I think we are getting a little ahead of ourselves, though. Unless you want to opine on that idea that I just had, I think we should go back to talking about All
okay. In. All In.
Okay.
So we already went hard with our highlight.
Yeah.
What's your low light?
Okay, so my low light is going to be very 2020. Right? Because in the moment, I don't think I had very many low lights. I said this after, I think after you left or something, I was like, I don't think there was one match that I was like, God, that sucked. I think I liked everything, right? Hindsight being 2020, I think my low light will have to be Jack Perry's spot on the car with the glass, right? So
we're aware of what happened up to that point before that.
Right. I wasn't aware, right? Reports are coming out slowly during the actual pay-per-view.
Up to before Sunday, you knew about that, what happened in the past, right?
Yeah, that there was a thing about
he wanted to do glass. Something with glass, and they said no. And he got pissed, and so now that we have Sunday.
Right.
Yeah. I was watching this. I got to your house right as the show started.
Right.
So
you missed that
match. I watched it.
Oh, on but the drive in the up car. There. Yeah.
So I saw that where he slapped the glass and said, real glass, cry me a river or whatever.
Yeah.
And the first thought I had was, here we go. I already knew that chapter two mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. Jack Perry and CM Punk was about to start. When I parked, pieces started coming in. I was like, oh shit, I know Punk and Joe are going on next. Punk is probably back there. Oh fuck, what the fuck's about to happen? God damn. And then the first match isn't even over with Punk and Joe, and already shit's on the internet.
Right. Stuff's starting to trickle out. Yeah. So in hindsight, in retrospect, Jack Perry was an asshole. CM Punk was also an asshole. Two things can be true. Right? Did Jack Perry... I kind of agree with Punk that you don't need to be using real glass. Use your fucking sugar glass. Do it. There's no need to. Why? Because fucking Goldberg punching through glass, almost slicing open his fucking arteries in his arm and stuff, almost dying. You don't need to do that, right?
I have a different take.
Okay.
But on the same direction.
Okay.
I don't agree with the fact that you do spots like that on a hardcore match given away for free on the pre-show.
Okay.
That could have been on Dynamite. That could have been on Collision to draw you some ratings. Mm-hmm. You don't give that shit away for free on YouTube.
Okay.
That's my opinion. But at the same time, we're both in agreement. We didn't need to have that on Sunday.
Right.
You know, you could have easily dropped the belt to Hook in a match. And then Collision next week. Grand Slam is in a couple of weeks in New York. That's when you could have done this hardcore match and actually built up to it instead of just, oh, we're just going to do another pre-show. With the whole Punk thing.
I think Punk's advice is sound in you don't need to actually use the glass, right? I think I'm right on that. I think a lot of other old-timers would say that they're right on that. Other WWE guys would tell them, look, you don't really need to use it. And... we all know what happened at Brawl Out and what led to Brawl Out.
Motherfucker and got bit.
And the thing that, like, that was the catalyst of all this, allegedly, is the young kids at AEW aren't listening to all these legends that have been brought in. They're not listening to Regal. They're not listening to Punk. They're not listening to Sting. They're not listening to all these folks, right?
Yeah. Anderson, Roberts, Malenko.
Yeah, they're doing all their own things because they're too fucking haughty.
I made it this far.
Yeah.
Why am I changing now?
And I kind of understand that, like, I don't know what the English word is, but I understand the coraje of why you want to just do it on your own. And I'm like, fuck these guys. I don't need to listen to these old guys. I'm going to do
persistence.
It. Okay, cool.
Coraje sounds a lot more angry.
Yeah. You
know, it's persistence.
Yeah. Like, I kind of get that, right? But at the same time, bro, these guys have been there where you're trying to be as a company. Listen to them. Yeah. Now, again, I agree with what Punk was saying, that you don't need to use real glass. But this, that's where it ends.
One, Jungle Boy should have never said anything on that match. Should have just kept his mouth shut.
Yes.
Number two, if he didn't keep his mouth shut and that happened, he did not have to confront CM Punk and ask him what he was going to do about it.
Yeah.
Or be happy about it.
And that leads to the fault falling on Punk's shoulders. If you want to be such a fucking locker room leader and you want to lead the fucking kids, why the fuck are you acting like one of them, trying to choke them out and stuff? Like, I get it. You're CM Punk. I understand that part. But, bro, you're, what, 43? Mm-hmm. He's like, what, 43, 44, something mm-hmm. like that? You've been in the wrestling business forever. You're giving the actual sound advice. And what are you doing? You're getting in a backstage scuffle where you choke people out? The fuck, dude? Let TK suspend Jungle Boy for being an idiot. You don't have to go and actually get yourself suspended too by fucking choking this dude out. Like, mm-hmm. and I we've all seen how CM Punk can get. We know he has a short temper. We know he has this Chicago mindset of fucking just being toxic and just wanting to, you know, show out your machismo and shit like that, you know? So I get it that that's kind of where he is. But, bro, you need to fucking mature too, man. And that's where the problem is. They're both not mature. Even though Punk is so much older, he's been in the business and he has a lot of knowledge, he's not mature down here. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that's where all this is just going sideways.
The only defense,
they don't have leadership in the AEW locker
room. The only defense I'll give Punk, being a guy that has already been through this shit before.
Yeah.
With people in the locker room having some kind of idea what Punk will do if you put him in the corner.
Yeah.
And Jack Perry physically putting him in that corner. Tony Khan there, and nothing's done.
Yeah.
What else would you do if you were CM Punk? You can't turn the other cheek if you've been slapped on both cheeks.
Hey,
and
I got a couple more cheeks.
Yeah, that sounds like a standing ovation. What else do you do but assert yourself as, look, we're not tolerating this fuckery.
Yeah.
You know? Right before he's supposed to go out in his biggest match of the year with Samoa Joe, who, another guy, has nothing to do with anything that's going on, and he is also probably in flux, worried about what the fuck is happening. This is my moment, and these two guys are fucking...
There was reports that Joe was pissed off going into the match because they got moved to the opener, and there was even a talk that maybe Punk was actually walking out, so that fucking pissed off Joe, you know? So, yeah, like, that's what I'm saying, dude. You do need to keep your cool. You know, you're saying, well, what else can he do? Keep his fucking cool.
Wait a week. You know people in Chicago. They'll hide a dead body.
Yeah. But. And again, if this was right next to TK enough to where monitors fell on TK during the scuffle.
He should have stood up and said no.
Because
again, who started this?
Yeah. I don't know. Who?
Jack. On the show. Live. Right. Again. Okay. The same complaint Punk had last year when Hangman went live.
Right.
And brought it up to Tony. He's like, hey, he's not supposed to be doing. What the fuck? What is this happening? What are you going to do about it? What happened to Hangman? Mm-hmm. What happened to Hangman?
He got. He got his ass whooped.
Yeah, but what kind of punishment did he get for going off script?
You're right. He didn't get a punishment.
Exactly.
Right.
And now you're doing this with this kid.
Yeah. Okay. So ultimately it falls on TK and leadership in the locker room, which there is no leadership, which also begs the question, who is actually running the show and who is the
who is the decision maker?
Well, not the decision maker, but the moral compass, right? You can be the boss, right? You could be TK, and I'm the one that signs the checks. I'm the one who books the stuff. But, like, this little fucking twerp pipsqueak guy with the money, he's the money mark. Like, he's not actually going to boss around these egos. Who's going to boss around these egos? And I thought it was going to be Regal. But then Regal left. Why? Because he wasn't getting enough respect. Mm-hmm. So he left. Right? So, is it Jericho or is Jericho massaging the fucking coals there too to just be like, I'm still this rock star. I got this rock star party lifestyle. Yeah. How's it going, fellow children? And like he's pretending like he's one of them too and just being fucking wild and crazy Lord of the Flies. Is that what's going on? Are we going to look to Moxley to be a locker room leader? Fuck Moxley. Mm-hmm. Hell no, he's not the locker room leader. He's just a guy who wants to do all kinds of crazy shit and just get more and more hardcore. He's not trying to actually lead these folks. If anybody had the most fucking balanced head in this whole fucking situation, it was Rusev. Mm-hmm. Who?
Just chilling.
Well, he didn't just chill. He confronted Punk, but it didn't come to fucking blows.
Yeah.
Right? What should CM Punk do? Do what fucking Rusev did.
Yeah.
Confront him and not go, not let it get out of hand. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, man, that if we want to talk good, bad, and ugly, that's definitely ugly. Maybe even bad.
So you beat me to it. That was the low light that I was going to give. So I'm going to come up with a different perspective.
We got low lights in the live chat, too, if you want.
Okay, we'll get there.
Okay.
This is probably going to sound coming from left field.
On Rusev Day?
And people might not understand this. It's twofold because booking-wise, other than you're being in your hometown, I have no idea why the fuck Tony Khan decided to give Saraya the belt. It made no fucking sense booking-wise.
Okay.
But the other thing that irked me tied to that, they made a big fucking deal about Mercedes Moné being there when she's only on one leg and can't do fuck with squat anyway. Are you like, is your women's division impending on Mercedes Moné to come be the savior of something that's already lost that cannot be found? So if you have her there, fine. Show her for the women's match. Make her appearance relevant. Why are they showing her face during fucking House of Black and Acclaim? So the crowd is cheering whenever Mercedes is on TV instead of focusing on the match. Why is she showing on three other different matches? Is she going to be special ref? Is she coming out? Is she like secretly banging Ospreay? What? I don't know what the fuck she's doing there. Like, she is not going to be the harbinger of whatever you're missing in the women's division to be like, oh, now it's better than WWE. No. It rubbed me the wrong way. With all due respect, the whoring out of Mercedes Moné on that show.
So, let's talk about that.
Go for it.
Because I have a little bit of a different perspective on it, although you did touch on the one thing that was the button that really pushed me on it.
Go.
They did not whore her out. They didn't. They only showed her four times, and three of those times was during the wrong fucking match.
Yeah.
It was during the House of Black versus the Acclaim match, which leads me to believe, putting on my fucking tinfoil hat, right? Conspiracy theory guy, leads me to believe that House of Black, three dudes, and Julia Hart. The Acclaimed, and Daddy Ass, three dudes, well, they need a chick. Maybe that's what they're going for. Maybe that's why they showed her in that match. Now, remember I said three out of the four. The only other time they showed her was on the pre-show. You didn't get to see that. And this was before matches had even started.
You might have missed it because they showed her more times than that. I'll speak on it after we're done with this segment. But there were more times that they showed her.
Okay. That being said, if I missed it, I missed it. But the way from where I sat, the way I saw, they definitely showed her in the wrong match. They should have showed her, if they were going to show her multiple times in one match, it should have been in the women's match. Yeah, I get it. She's got a bum leg. Whatever. Cool. But that's still building anticipation. So I that would be more forgivable. But the fact that they're showing her in the Acclaimed and House of Black match made no sense whatsoever, other than, do you think they're going to stick her with them?
And they're going to sign all that money to bring her in just to be the side piece.
Yeah, and I don't know. Like, that would be fucking bizarre.
But it's AEW.
But it's AEW. I mean, they brought in Miro to be on.
Sasha's is going to wrestle men.
Yeah. And they have Joe on fucking ROH, right? Yeah. And so they bring in people to do nothing, yeah. right? Okay, fine. But another thing I want to talk about there is the women's match. Arnold in live chat says he kind of enjoyed it. I agree. I kind of enjoyed the women's match. I enjoyed where they were going with breaking up, but maybe not breaking up the Outcast, but kind of, but maybe, but not really, but probably. You know, I kind of enjoyed that. Now, I get it why Saraya won. Mm-hmm. Totally understand. I kind of liked the involvement of Saraya's family. Kind of, yeah. You know, it was something different than other match. You're like, okay, cool. I do feel, though, that Hikaru might have been robbed. So while I'm not like, man, this is the best match ever, I thought it was good.
For me, it was the least best. But Hikaru was
robbed.
For me, I think it was the least best.
Okay.
I don't sit and say it in a derogatory sense as worst, but that was... That's a low light compared to everything else.
Okay.
You know, and that's why it's in that, it's the, you know, worst of the best, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, but still, it was short. It was only 12 minutes.
Yeah.
Felt like there was a lot going on. The whole family thing kind of threw me off a little bit, you know. It kind of made it obvious for me that she was going to win it, but it all goes back to me. As a weekly viewer of the television show, she barely wrestles. Like, the booking storyline, it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
Unless Saraya defends the belt this Sunday and loses it back to Hikaru, just because she had her hometown moment, or because Tony costs her, or because Ruby costs her, or something to push a story that makes more sense than, oh, we're going to just give it to her because it's her hometown.
She
has a wrestling family and her grandparents and parents all wrestle. Like, that doesn't move my needle.
I want to be able to cheer Hikaru, right?
I do. I like Hikaru Shida.
I like her a lot, too. And I want to have that opportunity to really get behind her the way I feel like we've all gotten behind Britt Baker.
Yeah.
I think the AEW's women division is almost all centered on Britt Baker's success. A lot of people say that AEW's women's division is very lacking, and I know why. They only have one bona fide star, and that's Britt. Everyone else is like, kind of on the bubble of becoming a star. You need to make another one. You can't have a whole fucking division rest upon the shoulders of one person that you don't want to always be the champ because you don't want to wear her out as being the champ. So yeah, you gotta have another mega star, and that could be Hikaru. But okay, maybe if you want it to be Paige, because it's Paige, and you know, Saraya. She already Saraya because she has a name. Okay, cool, I kind of get it, but I'm not on board there yet. But
and yay, I think she's on the down curve.
Yeah, I agree too.
You know, there's people like Willow Nightingale, Chris Statlander,
who are on the come up.
Behind it, no pun intended. Sky Blue, another person.
Yeah, I'm waiting for Sky Blue to get several wins under her belt. She's great. People love her. That you can't boo that ass.
I'm waiting,
and she just keeps losing.
I'm waiting for Ring of Honor to stop being a thing and put Athena back on fucking television that we can watch.
Okay, that's you. All right.
A decent division for Mercedes Moné to come in and dabble her toes into something new.
The
majority of wrestling fans that have been longtime wrestling fans, the first thing they're going to want, Arnold, is all give me Saraya versus Mercedes.
Now, I can see how that could be interesting, right? Because of the way Saraya was taken out. It was because of Mercedes. So I kind of get it. I just don't know if
are you trying to tell stories or are you just trying to capitalize?
I don't know if I trust AEW to do something like that, given the track record of what's been going on behind the stage where egos are going up. It's one thing to take like, oh, this could be an ego thing and let's show that out kayfabe. But then when you have egos in the back and things are out of control, it might be a little bit of bad taste to have a ego story, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. Arnold said it a couple of times. He wants to bring up a low light, which is Ospreay versus Jericho. So, I absolutely fucking love Ospreay. This match, I could tell he was at half speed.
Good. Good for him.
He needed to be.
He needed to be.
For Jericho.
Yeah.
For Jericho.
Like I mentioned in the pre-show, this was going to be his resume to prove that he could slow down enough to be signed by WWE at the end of the year.
And he did.
He did well. Like, he camouflaged a lot of Jericho's negatives. Jericho didn't go too fast. Mm-hmm. There's things I didn't like, but it played to the story. You know, if you saw Dynamite the week before, Ospreay just told Jericho straight up, I don't think you're taking this seriously. And and the first thing we see of Jericho is him doing a fucking Great Value Queen impersonation and then performing half of a song.
Yeah.
You know, so you know why Jericho was there. He wanted to get adulation from 80,000 people.
Yeah.
His priority was that. His priority was not to win. And obviously, ultimately, I wanted Ospreay to win because of that, and he did. And so it all made sense enough for me to not have too much of a gripe about it.
Yeah. I
see Ospreay main eventing All Out next year.
I kind of see where you're coming from, whereas the expectation there, it was met.
Yeah. My expectation for this wasn't high.
Right. And I think Ospreay did what he needed to do. But I think there are some people, maybe like Arnold in the live chat, who wanted to see more out of the hype that is Ospreay.
You're not going to get it with Jericho.
Right.
You've had my New Japan credentials for 3 years now. That's on you. And you.
Yeah, no, I agree.
But I will say, to your guys' defense, it's also on New Japan. I had no fucking idea Ospreay could talk until last week. To their credit, I didn't know Mike Bennett could talk until last night.
Bruv.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I see Ospreay getting a title shot at AEW World Title next year at All Out to sell 80,000 more tickets next year.
Arnold says, I'm American, sir. That pro guy, I know we're kind of backtracking a little bit here, but, you know, there's a delay
low lights,
in the chat.
Yeah.
No, not a low light. Statlander is also a great worker, too, and she has positive fan sentiment.
So here's the thing with the women.
So where the hell is she?
Here's the thing with the women.
Your second best woman that was wrestling is nowhere to be found. That was being Jade. Now, Jade was never a good wrestler, but she was over. She was that second star that AEW Women's Division needed, but she's been MIA.
And you know why?
Why?
She has she checks more than one box. Britt Baker and Jade Cargill, and at one point, Statlander, were the only ones that checked more than one box. Britt Baker has charisma. She can talk. Britt Baker is tolerant in the ring, to good in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
But she also has
DMD.
Jade was growing in front of us.
Yeah.
You could see her progressively getting better. You could see her charisma when she started talking on the mic in the first 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Was garbage. The last 2 months rivaled any woman in that company.
Yeah.
As far as how good she was. And she had a character. She had a personality.
Yeah.
Every pay-per-view, you could figure out what video game she was from. You had something for fans to latch on to Jade.
Yeah.
Statlander's gimmick was that she ditched when she came back.
Yeah.
So she's fleshed her moveset out. She's fleshed her body out. She looks the best that she's ever been, bar doing fucking tombstones on her knees on the aprons. Like, that's not going to help your cause when you just came back from two fucking knee surgeries.
Yeah.
So she's missing that extra box that needs to be checked off for her to be in that class of why are these women stars and the others, like Sky Blue, is just okay. Tony Storm's getting there with her new character. I'm loving this 60s Marilyn Monroe on depression, you know. And then Ruby Soho's kind of doing a little something, leaning towards something on her end too.
Mm-hmm.
Saraya, I think the part of why I'm kind of like on the down curve with her is what is she bringing to the table that she hasn't already brought at every other potluck in WWE?
Right.
So there's potential for that. They just need something. Like one little thing. One more thing.
One more thing.
Yeah.
All right. What about this for a low light?
Same thing with Nightingale. Love Nightingale. Oh, gotta look. Nightingale. Different. Very peppy, but the metal stuff. Like,
yeah.
Life sucks. Smile anyway. Cool.
I love
there's
it.
There's one something that's missing to get her in that next level of, all right, she's main eventing Dynamite.
I know what that something is. Wins. Wins, goddammit. She's just...
Not on Rampage. We don't watch Rampage. We don't believe in Rampage.
Yeah. I mean, she's neat. You need to get a push with her.
Yeah.
She's got that different look. She's got that different charisma. She's got that attitude, like you said. And she's good in the ring.
Yeah.
So what she needs is fucking wins. And that's kind of where I'm coming also from Sky Blue. Sky Blue, we don't know if she's got the charisma yet as far as speaking skills go. But god damn, she's easy on the eyes.
She did a podcast with fucking River City. And she is boring as fuck. But she acknowledges it. And the fact that she does gives her a redeeming quality about her that eventually 6 months from now you'd be like, I can't imagine she said she was boring. She's cool now.
Yeah.
It's like half of that roster just needs something to be like that TNA Knockouts roster in 2006 where everyone had something. ODB had this. Awesome Kong was fucking awesome.
Gail Kim was just the best wrestler ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody had something. It was like, yeah.
And another one that kind of fell off the map, Nyla. Nyla has something.
Yeah.
The fucking native gimmick and, you know, just so big and she fucking kills people. But then she could kind of be funny sometimes.
Yeah.
She has a lot going for her, but then she was coming out with Vicky Guerrero of all people. Yeah. Like, you had something with that, but then you just fell apart.
If you're choosing not to use your sexual orientation as the hook, you have to have something else. You have to come up with something else.
I completely even fucking forgot about that part, too. Oh, yeah. By the way, she's like the only fucking trans wrestler that is on fucking main event TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a fucking angle,
until
too.
Until next year when Impact comes back up on the come up and Lady Frost is main eventing half of those episodes.
Okay.
We'll talk about
Impact. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah.
I know where you're coming from. But, yeah. All right. Another low light according to the live chat. Golden Elite match. So at work, this is part of the conversation that I had with him. He had brought up the fact that I've seen Kota Ibushi now twice, and he was better this time than he was last time, but I don't understand the hype.
I told you in person, he looked better last weekend than he did the first time we saw him at Blood and Guts.
Right.
This is going to be a hurdle for AEW casual fans or even hardcore fans. Well, not hardcore fans, but casual fans or fans that are into wrestling, they're trying to get into AEW, is that most of the people that come from other promotions, they're just riding on their fame from there instead of bringing something new to the table or bringing that story to hook a new audience.
Yeah.
Darby's been wrestling in the independents for like 3 or 4 years before he showed up on AEW. It only took 30 seconds. Yo, I was a kid with my uncle. We were in a car accident. He died. Half of me is dead. Boom!
Yeah.
You don't get that stuff with a lot of the guys that are coming in now. Mm-hmm. You know, we, for as shit as it was, we got the Lucha Underground promo video for Wardlow.
Yeah.
Gave us some kind of foundation to work with. You know, you're bringing in Ospreay. We didn't know fuck. You know, it's give and take. I could sit here and complain as a wrestler of a casual viewer of New Japan. He's got 6 people in his group. Why does he need Callis?
Yeah.
Now, to balance that, holy shit, mofo can talk. I don't care about everybody else. Give me more Ospreay.
Yeah.
But there isn't anything like that. There is no 60-minute video. There is nothing on the YouTubes that is made by AEW or put on AEW television. Again, Rampage doesn't count. To show you, okay, this is why he's here. This is why he's important. You know, we got videos for fucking Nick Wayne for 3 weeks in a row. I could see if Arnold could give more fucks about a rook that's like 6 toothpicks put together other than fucking Ospreay or Ibushi, because they don't fucking do anything for them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They just expect, oh, this is Ospreay. You should know who Ospreay is. He's wrestled Omega and Jericho and Okada and Naito. You know. And he's champions. You know,
the Golden Lovers. Yeah. The what?
The what? Is that Trump's favorite tag team? What?
What? The who? Yeah, like it's a fucking meme that needs explaining and needs context where they're just coming out saying, oh, yeah, there they are. Right? So guys like me and you who are a little bit familiar with it, okay, cool. Yeah. But you know what?
Hector got no problem.
Hector's got no problem.
We need more Hectors and less Arnold.
Arnold has a big problem.
You got a lot more Arnold.
But
out
you
there.
Know what? The same shoe is on the foot of this guy, fucking Danhausen. When Danhausen was coming to AEW, I was like, oh my God, guys, you need to know about Danhausen. And what was your thing? You kept saying, I don't know what the fuck a Danhausen is. And the AEW never showed you what a Danhausen was. You never learned what a Danhausen was. No. And now he's gone.
By the time I finally figured it out.
Where the fuck has he been?
Hurt. Still. Yeah. FTR versus the Young Bucks. Was it as good as you thought it would be?
Yes. Yes.
My expectations low for that too. But it met them.
It met my expectations where I was like, cool, this is a really, really good match. It could have been a show stealer. I don't think it was a show stealer.
Was there one?
I think the best match of the show was the one that was supposed to be the best match of
the
show.
So it didn't steal the show because it was right where it was supposed to be.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't steal it if it's supposed to be there.
Yeah.
If I had to put a gun to my head and say this match stole the show, I might go with the Trios Tag Team Championship.
I see that.
Everything that we said about them showing Mercedes Moné during the match aside, Daddy Ass and the Acclaim versus the
House of Black
was really, really good. Now, I know somebody that disagrees. Arnold would say that the best match of the night
was the Trios match.
No.
No, oh.
He thinks it's Stadium Stampede.
This is why I don't have fucking kids.
What? What? I don't follow. What do you mean you don't have kids because Stadium Stampede? House of Black tribute to Bray was awesome. Yeah, yeah, that, yeah.
They tried to make it more easily digestible by having split screens.
Yes. We said that while we were watching it. Like, they listened to us. Actually, it's split screens.
For fans that keep up with their storyline and knowing that in the hardcore parking lot match, they wrecked Sue's van and someone went through the windshield.
I thought that was
to
great.
To have Sue come out.
Sue come out.
That was for that.
But then
for,
she got kissed.
If you're following that story, you got the payoff you were looking for. So I can't hate that. At least the storytelling is consistent.
Right.
Even though it might not be the genre that I would look for.
Right.
But it was still done. I could see it. I could see it. Enough of fucking goddamn Blackpool.
Stampede was one of the most meh matches on the card for me, says Dat Pro Guy.
It still met the expectations I had. I just had them very low.
Yeah. Stadium Stampede, I think I said this on our preview show last week, that I wanted Stadium Stampede to be fun because the first two were fun. But it's going to get watered down because of Anarchy in the Arena. And we've seen too many Anarchy in the Arenas recently with the Blackpool Combat Club.
Yeah.
And I don't want to see Moxley with the fucking fork again. I don't want to see the spot where, I have a screwdriver and I'm going to stab you. And, I missed and I stabbed the turnbuckle.
Oopsie, a hobo boopsie. Whisk.
Yeah, like...
The Bro. Billy Club wrapped in barbed wire.
Yeah.
Half the room looked at me like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? The other half of the room was like, this is why we know what the fuck is wrong with this guy. Yeah.
But I don't know. That overly hardcore, super deathmatch indie style. I get it that that's where Moxley came from. And I get it that Moxley... Is paying homage to that, but bro, you're doing it too goddamn much.
Yeah,
it's
4 minutes. He bled 4 minutes in.
It's not like Foley. Foley came from hardcore. He did a bunch of stuff, and then he did more hardcore stuff.
He knew the hardcore when to legend, do it,
and he didn't always do it.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And Moxley's he's bleeding on fucking Dynamite. He's bleeding on Rampage. He's bleeding when he goes to the grocery store. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care. I don't care. It's devalued it so much. Arnold said, Mox does too much. But this match was made by Cassidy. And I agree with that. It was made by Cassidy. It also made me care about the other jabronis. The other jabronis being best friends. He had told me that earlier, too. He cared about the best friends. And he cared about... again, you brought it up. With Sue getting involved. And yeah. The soccer mom.
If you've read that story, you know that's a good payoff.
I agree. See, okay. The Blackpool Combat Club side of that, I'm tired. I'm done. I'm bored with it. Seeing Orange get maimed and still pull through, that was kind of cool. Again, I don't think that there was any matches on this card that were bad. Mm-hmm. I think everything was all right to really fucking great.
I think part of that for me, and I don't mean this as a disrespect at all, just an observation, because it is going to be weird that I say this. I care about your feelings.
Okay.
I was too distracted with all the people in the room mm-hmm. that I couldn't focus enough on the wrestling in front of me. Mm-hmm. To really dissect it. Except the main event where everyone shut the fuck up and we didn't have to train people on years of wrestling backstory and 3D chess for someone to understand why we are in the place we are with all these other matches. Mm-hmm. If anything, that's the other thing about All Out that was the down point. We've been fans of wrestling for over 20 years, maybe 30, maybe 40. You should know, this did not feel like the biggest show of the year. What do you see at WrestleMania? Nice, huge, 2-minute, 3-minute video package of how we ended up with 80 fucking thousand people here. You could have had a nice 4-minute underdog video to shut Jim Cornette the fuck up. And then bleed into your show and have half of your matches, at least half of your matches, have videos so that no one has to explain why we're about to watch what we're about to watch or who these people are or how they ended up here. You just know and you watch. We didn't get that enough to where we could watch what we were watching without having to explain things to other people. There were at least two people in there that had no idea what half the things were going on. So instead of watching what we're doing, we're teaching. And here's the dry erase board.
Yeah.
So with 4 hours, at some point, everyone either got tired or were like, all right, this is what we're here for. Everything else is fun. I'm watching this. And I scooted away from my girl for like 20 minutes. So I was like, if you don't get it, it's cool. I'll get you a beer. I'm watching this. And I didn't see shit. Because I wanted to make sure that was something that had my undivided attention.
Fair.
I could have been a lot more critical. Again, we don't know how many times things happened or what spots were where because our attention for 85% of that pay-per-view was not 100% on the telly.
Have you gone back and rewatched it yourself? Okay, cool.
None.
I have the ability to because I still have it recorded on my DVR and I thought about doing it at some point.
Because if we do our end of the year review, we might need it.
Yeah. That being said,
it was glad. I was so happy to be there, by the way. Good. I don't want any of that to discourage that the weekend. Right. It was awesome.
Noted. That being said, if we're talking about judging the actual pay-per-view for what it was, sometimes we will have to take our own bias of how we watched it out.
Yeah.
Okay? So I totally get that. There is something that you said there in that little rant that...
Rant sounds so negative.
Okay, point whatever. You're the fucking diatribe. There's something that you said there inside it, which was you don't think it felt like the biggest show of the year. I vehemently disagree. I think this felt like a WrestleMania or a Wrestle Kingdom, AEW's version of that. I truly, honestly do feel that way. When I was watching it and after I was watching it, I was like, this is the biggest spectacle AEW's ever done.
But yeah, compared to what?
Compared to the other Double or Nothings, other All-Ins.
Quarter Pounder is the biggest sandwich McDonald's makes, but that's nothing compared to fucking the double from fucking In-N-Out or the 7x7 from Steak and Shake. Like it did,
yeah.
Just because that's the biggest thing they've ever done is not necessarily
I still feel as though the gravitas of the card and of the main event and of the where they were and the amount of people that they had, I still think that this can be as big as this year's WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. Or even bigger, but depending on what your grading scale is. I get it that you said that, okay, it needed some more of the...
presentation was missing.
It needed the presentation in the form of videos.
Production.
But the view of it, the fireworks going due to the overhead shot showing the fireworks outside of the building, that doesn't happen at fucking Fyter Fest. That doesn't happen at Payback. That doesn't happen at, whatever the not Wrestle Kingdom New Japan pay-per-views are, you know, that happens at the big fucking shows, and that happened at this big fucking show. And yeah, they had a nice little set that was different than all the other sets with a long fucking walkway. Like, it felt different. It had the big event feel for me. Now, if you're disagreeing, cool, you could disagree, that's fine, but I feel like this was a watershed moment for 2023.
Yeah, that was All Out.
That pro guy says it was worth being up at 3 a.m. That's the bar for me. Oh, yeah, because you're in Australia, right? You're an Aussie, yeah. Aren't you? If I remember correctly, he's an Aussie.
Yeah.
Oi. Oi. He also says overall it was a fun card and I enjoyed watching it. So that's enough for me.
Is the pay-per-view that they took 6 weeks to build, not fucking one.
What's up, Aaron?
Oh, shit, Aaron.
Yeah. She says...
My Aaron.
Yes, you're Aaron.
Oh, I thought you meant our Aaron.
No, Aaron, not okay. Aaron.
Okay.
She says, to be fair, I wasn't asking questions. I was just trying to listen to the show. He didn't mean you. Yeah. I know who he was talking about. Yeah. You mean Erica, Porsche's friend. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
But, and then Nicole really likes to explain stuff. So whenever Erica didn't know, Nicole... explain.
And then somewhere once the alcohol kicked in, it was bruv every other thing.
Yeah, bruv. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Dat Pro says, yep, he's here in Aussie land. That's right. I remember. Gotcha.
Anything else of note from All Out before we move on?
Did we talk... You know what? Speaking of Aussies, we didn't really talk about Aussie Open versus Better Than You, Bebe.
Okay. We didn't really talk about it?
It was good. I liked it. I was hella surprised when the match ended. I love the way the match ended. Kangaroo kick. Cool. That got a huge fucking pop. Double drop kick. Thought it was, okay, that was their time to shine to, but now they're going to lose. And they didn't lose. Fucking double clothesline. Boom. 1, 2, 3. Holy shit, they actually won the titles.
Fun fact that I read online yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
That the originator of the dropkick was a Jewish wrestler who got that move exactly how they played it in those promos. He went to Australia and saw kangaroos fighting, and he came back, and that's how he invented the wrestling dropkick.
Really?
Yes. So that was the homage MJF was paying.
So MJF literally reinvented the wheel with this? Yeah. That makes it even better. See, MJF gets over fucking benign moves. I'll beat you with the headlock takeover. What does he do? He beats fucking Darby with the headlock takeover.
After some kerfuffle.
Yeah. And then, he does a double dropkick.
A double clothesline.
Yeah, like, he's not doing anything fucking like, oh my god, it's a Canadian destroyer, Like...
Yeah, he's not reinventing the wheel. He's taking established products and just putting a clock in it or something.
Yeah, I guess so.
Before we move on from the weekend of All Out, one last thing.
One more time.
Press conference. I'm not sure if you saw this. I heard this secondhand.
Mm-hmm. I did. I stayed awake for most of it.
Thumbs up or thumbs down? Someone asked MJF where their next big show should be. And he mentioned Ciudad de Mexico, he said, "See, thumbs up or thumbs down. Take AEW arriba."
Way up. Way up. Dude,
Mexico City, Monterey.
Weren't we talking about this for WWE? With WWE going Clash at the Castle in Saudi, and they're going to India and all this and that. We're like, you know what? They need to go to fucking Mexico City.
Yeah.
MJF just is, we're going to go to fucking...
Style of the
vehicle. Yeah. We're going to go out there. Yeah. Oh, shit. I mean, he didn't promise it because he did give the caveat, well, it depends if this guy, you know, yeah. pointing to Tony Khan, well, it depends if this guy says so, but I would love to go fight in, what do they call it? Azteca, was it? Azteca Stadium? Estadio Azteca. He would love to.
Yeah.
Fuck, I would love that too. That'd be awesome. Pack out that place, see how many fucking Mexicans you can fit in there.
You know, we're talking Mexicans. You easily fit 100,000 Mexicans into anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Estadio Azteca way.
All right. Besides MJF and Adam Cole, any other candidates for match of the week? Did you watch any wrestling at all between last Wednesday and today? Did you like the not hardcore, hardcore match that they had in memory of Terry Funk on Friday?
Oh, no. I mean, yay for Terry Funk and yay for, you know, putting on a tribute match. But, you know, like, if you're just judging the match on the match's credentials, it was like, whatever.
Yeah.
You know.
I will say.
Oh, Arnold does say Orange Cassidy versus Penta. You know, I agree with that. That match was pretty damn good.
If you erase the dueling code reds.
Okay.
Where, like, oh, I hit you with a code red, a move that should lay you the fuck out, and you're standing up 2 seconds later to do that to me.
Ugh. Huh?
I love the finish, though. Package pile driver on the apron. Dead. Blood orange. Roll his ass in the ring. Another package pile driver. Cassidy kicks out at like 2.9. And while Penta's sitting up like, ¿Qué pendejo no fue tres? Orange rolled him up like that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Okay.
He's overcome too many odds for the wrestler that he appears to be.
Okay.
The character that it's wearing extremely thin for me.
Okay.
I will not be buying the character overcoming odds if he beats Moxley. This is the time. Moxley needs to kill him. Brainwash him into the newest member of Blackpool because he's taking so much shit. You know?
Okay.
Make something different. No one's going to expect to see Orange Cassidy, but if you've been watching him for 6 months, he's been put through the meat grinder and he comes out looking the same.
We should put him in a leather jacket, leather shades, and coming out to Beethoven.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, fuck. Oh, no. Orange's promo. After the match,
yes,
I thought it was another example of why has he not been talking more? I get the gimmick, but
the Canadian Destroyer has always been a stupid move.
Yeah, Bryce Ramsburg's still selling it.
Yeah,
and he got hit with it 4 days ago.
But Orange can talk. Apparently, yeah. Orange can talk.
I will say, for as weird as the Friday episode of SmackDown was. The biggest highlight for me, and not just because I've been a fan for a while, the LA Knight promo before his match against Finn Balor was very different. You know, I don't mean to be brash when I say this, but when wrestlers pass away, it's almost like instinctive that everyone gushes about their career, their life, their charisma, their aura that made them likable or anything. So to hear LA Knight be like, you know, I didn't really know this guy. You know, we fought, we had a rivalry. One of my last rivalries was with him. He wasn't out, LA Knight, for all intents and purposes, wasn't out there kissing ass. The promo, half character, half himself, made it believable. Mm-hmm. So how when he was able to transition from the tribute to Bray to, oh, I got to wrestle. I'm still feuding with The Miz. The way he switched that on a dime and kept going.
Masterful.
And then at the end, when he did his catchphrases like normal. And then at the very end, he's like, a wise man once told me, next time you see me, run. I'll spell.
Shit, dude.
Look.
Yeah.
Spellbound. Yeah. I was spellbound by the end of that. Because he did something that with and again, no disrespect to the past. We've seen tributes for Owen Hart, Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, the Brody Lee stuff, now with Bray. This stood out to everything because it was not only the fact that you're paying tribute, but you also have a story to tell. You still have a direction to go, and you just melded everything. Yeah. Oh God!
That
got me more than any tribute that's been on YouTube. The video that you saw on Raw, the video that I skipped on NXT because you had already saw it on Raw, and the SmackDown tribute over everything else, that hit on so many levels for me.
Yeah,
it was masterful.
Yeah.
Yeah, where the fuck has he been? Why did it take so goddamn long?
He was too busy being a Maximum Male Model.
Yeah. So,
Seth and Becky pulled my heartstrings all weekend and on Raw.
Yeah.
Dat Pro Guy says, I popped so damn hard. I was out of my seat for LA on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw the tribute for Seth. He had the side plates of Bray on his belt.
Yeah.
I heard what the thing was with Becky. My dumbass was just thrown off because they shared screenshots and it had Bray Wyatt's wristband, but the angle was wrong. I'm like, who the fuck is Ray?
You know, Mysterio.
Yeah. Oh, about time. That's one person I didn't want to see anymore. Was fucking Ray. God damn. Probably bury him with his mask on because he's so fucking ugly.
Oh, no, just kidding. God.
What's he going to do? He has to stand on a chair and tell me in my face. No, just kidding. So. If last week wasn't an overabundance of wrestling, this weekend is another overabundance of wrestling.
Right.
We have Payback. WWE on Saturday. You told me before we pressed the red button, you have no interest whatsoever in watching this.
I don't have any plans to watch Payback. Yeah. I don't.
You're not breaking any kind of sweat.
No.
And just you moving already broke a sweat. You're not doing any of that for WWE this weekend.
No. If I wind up seeing it, cool.
By happenstance,
but I'm not making plans to see it.
Got you.
Right?
I've got 60 seconds. I'm going to try my best.
Yeah. Is this something you want to see?
I'm going to be at a concert Saturday, and then the next day. If I happenstance.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Grayson Waller is going to interview Cody Rhodes.
Okay.
On the Waller
Effect. Wait. Interview.
Yes.
Not wrestle.
No.
He's going to interview him.
Yes.
On a pay-per-view.
Yes.
On a premium live event, there's going to be a... Interview.
Yes.
Okay. Not on Raw.
No.
Not on SmackDown.
No.
Not on the YouTube.
No.
On the premium live event. On the PLE.
Yeah.
There's an interview.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Becky Lynch versus Trish Stratus in a steel cage.
Okay.
That
tickles my pickle a little bit.
Rey Mysterio defends the U.S. belt against Austin Theory.
No, I don't care.
Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens against Finn Balor and Damian Priest in a Steel City street fight for the tag titles.
I would care if it wasn't a Steel City street fight.
Okay.
So
even now, 4 months later, you still care about Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens after their WrestleMania moment, after Sami Zayn not winning at Elimination Chamber.
I would say that the interest is more on the side of the tension of the Judgment Day. Mm-hmm. But the fact that there is this no DQ added to it makes it where it's like, okay, there's just going to be shenanigans and we're not going to get poignant storytelling from it. It's just going to be, okay, the Dominic is going to get involved somehow or some bullshit happens and shenanigans or whatever.
Rhea Ripley versus Raquel Gonzalez for the Women's World title. Is this too soon or is this the right time to do it?
I don't think it's too soon.
People are booing Raquel when she's beating up Rhea because we all love mommy.
I mean, that's a point. I don't think it's too soon in the sense that Raquel has been, you know, on the cusp of being in that position for such a long time, but injuries and tag team partner injuries and this and that have just like derailed her ascent. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if you're just looking at length of time, length of time. Now, investment of story, not so much.
Mm-hmm. Seth Rollins versus Shinsuke Nakamura for the men's world title. Notice world title. Roman's not on this.
Okay.
I don't think Jimmy's wrestling on this. I don't think Solo.
That's got me at like a 9.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't think I've seen Rollins or Tyler Black, Ring of Honor, Russell, Shinsuke Nakamura. I don't think I have. Have they?
Really?
You're
sure that hasn't happened like on a random Raw or something?
Not to my knowledge. If anyone would know, Arnold would know. But he's like one of Rollins' nuts, so Arnold would know if he got kneed by Nakamura.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he could tell
us. Here's where the interest is on it, though. the interest is they're actually doing something here with Nakamura. They're letting Nakamura cut promos in Japanese and just put in the subtitles, and he is fucking demented. Yeah. And it works. I know about your back. Holy shit. This is great. His fucking promos were solid.
Even if he loses it in the next month and a half or 2 months, if he wins based on the fact that he's the Bane to Rollins Batman.
Yeah.
And breaks and fucks this dude up. You know, that would really get me going. Because there's not a lot past the Bloodline that has rising stock. And right now, one of those things is Nakamura and Rollins in this rivalry.
Yeah.
Especially that first promo where they're face-to-face and Nakamura whispered something into Rollins' ear.
And then
the back. And then they're like, I know about your back. And Rollins was like, what the fuck? And he turned around and ate one.
Yeah.
Well, ate another one because that was taking time.
Yeah.
This is one of the few things on Raw that has got my attention.
Yeah.
And I do make time to watch those segments. Even Rollins, if Nakamura's not here, that I won't fast forward through Rollins, regardless of 4 minutes of singing.
This seems to have Triple H's fingerprints on it.
Yes.
And not Vince's fingerprints on it. And Triple H is treating Nakamura with the kind of care that somebody would have been treated with NXT when they're developing him. And that Nakamura never got on the main event roster, and it's really fucking good. And I hope that it doesn't just end with Nakamura losing to Seth. And then
middling.
Remember when out of nowhere fucking Kofi Kingston just got over and was having this feud with Randy Orton, and you thought, holy shit, he's gonna beat Randy Orton. He poured the paint.
He had that spot in MSG where he did the leg drop through the table, and he's like soaking up everyone.
Yeah, and it's like, oh my god, this guy is on the come up, and he's gonna beat Randy fucking Orton. Holy shit. And then he did it, and then he languished for like the longest time until
6 years
until New Day. Yeah.
And then he finally won the world title.
Yeah. And then we had Kofi Mania. Yeah. Yeah. This might be that point in time for Nakamura where it's like, okay, nothing. Oh shit. You know? Yeah. And then hopefully it's not like, oh, okay, after the oh shit.
Yeah.
And then wait another 6 years until something else. But yeah. I mean, this could be something that could really set up Nakamura to be a really good villain.
That's all that's announced so far.
Yeah.
Maybe something announced on Monday that I missed or something gets announced tomorrow. Yeah. But that's the pay-per-view so far for Payback.
Arnold says he will pop if Nakamura wins.
So will I. Yeah. I will watch next week's episode of Raw from start to finish eventually when I get home.
Woo! Yeah. That pro guy says this, man, I'm going to get cussed out for this, but I hate non-English promos. Why do you hate non-English promos? Dude, you're from Australia. Y'all don't speak English there. Y'all speak Australian. You say beer. To say beer, you say Foster's. To say vegetable, you say Bloomin' Onion.
Like, bro,
you don't even speak English.
That's a country full of convicts, man. You talk shit about one of them.
They're all looking for you. They're going to bring all their fucking spiders and
you call that a knife?
Yeah.
This is a knife. Oh, I see you played Knifey Spoony before. Yeah. Beer. I want to drink a beer. Bartender, bring that beer. Come here, beer. Yeah. No, fucking Australians.
Jesus Christ. Although the cakes on that one Aussie Open, dude. God
damn. Oh, my God. Did we mention this last week? The fucking Iron Savages promo when they wrestled the guns? Iron Savages came out and they go, you can call us the ass boys because we're going to... Bet Arnold gave it two thumbs way up. Right where the sun
goes shine. Jesus Christ. As an Aussie, it's not really a thing that we ever get over here. Like, we don't get international shows or anything. It's just a cultural thing.
Fucking Arnold. This is why I'm still friends with him.
Yeah.
Do you get this? Read that comment Arnold just left.
Oh, do the toilets flush counterclockwise? Jesus Christ.
I hear a dingo eating your baby. All Out.
All Out.
Round two.
Oh, shit.
This Sunday. Okay.
All right.
Let's start from the bottom. Because a lot of this stuff was thrown together last minute. Here's an example. Samoa Joe versus Shane Taylor for the Ring of Honor television title.
You know, I should, by all rights and purposes, be at like a 6 for this, but I am not. I'm going to give this an 8.5. Why? Shane motherfucking Taylor!
Yes!
Now, this is just...
He's a big bitch!
This is just the Houston Wrestling Radio bias.
Yeah.
Shane Taylor, you and I, we got to see him plenty down here when it was him and Keith Lee
cool
and Raymond Rowe, yeah. Who's now Eric. Ray is Eric from the Viking Raiders. Yeah. When they would all wrestle here in Houston.
Jack Stane.
Yeah. Jack Stane. Yeah. I wish Jack Stane went further.
Apparently, he had a match with Tim Storm in last weekend's NWA that was apparently a fucking barn burner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jack Stane's great.
Yeah.
But yeah. Okay. Ray Rowland, Jack Stane versus Keith Lee and Shane Taylor. Fuck. Yeah.
Tethro.
That would have been an indie match of the year here in Houston. Yeah. Right? So there's definitely some of that, Houston bias. Like, I really want to see Shane Taylor on my TV.
Pause. You want to talk Houston bias?
Yeah.
Tomorrow, Brian Keith that gets Hangman Adam Page.
Winner gets to keep the cowboy gimmick.
Yes. Loser just gets the poncho.
Yeah. Dat Pro says, I need to get back to work. Much love. Have a good day. See you, man. I'll see. All right.
Number.
Thank you for joining us.
Joe and Taylor.
I gave it to you. Eight and a half.
9.
Okay.
This is like the supersized version of big meaty men slapping meat.
Meat.
If you order it on the app, you get a free upgrade.
Right.
This is it.
Yeah.
Joe and Taylor.
I think it's pretty
obvious.
Yeah,
Joe's
obvious
winning.
To say Joe's winning this.
Yeah.
But God damn, it's going to be really good to see Shane Taylor have a really good showing. I hope he has a good showing, man.
What if... Because the toys are in the box.
Uh-huh.
What if you reunite Pretty Boy Killers?
My nipples will be able to cut glass if that happens.
Shane Taylor and Keith Lee just smashing everybody like flapjacks at Denny's.
Man, you got to do something with Keith Lee. And that failed experiment with him and Swerve, and now you're putting all the shine on Swerve.
And the thing with Dustin Reynolds?
No. Keith Lee, Shane Taylor, Pretty Boy Killers,
run it back.
Bring them back and have them fucking challenge for the goddamn AEW Tag Team Championships. Whoever has it. If it's FTR, if it's the Bucks, if it's better than you, baby, I don't care. They can run that goddamn division. And they could run it for a while, not even with the titles, but trying to mow through the rest of the crowd to get to there. Okay, the Acclaimed have the Trios Championship. Cool. Acclaimed versus Pretty Boy Killers, and just let the Pretty Boys Killers kill the Pretty Boys.
Yeah.
It's no skin off of their nose, because they're Trios champs right now anyway. They're not focused on that. But hey, at least they get to kill somebody that's beloved.
Rock beats scissors anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would love it, man. Love it. Arnold says, Shane Taylor better be good. If not, y'all are losing credibility.
Oh, damn. 8-man tag. Bang Bang Gang. Bullet Club Gold.
Guns up.
Against FTR and the Bucks.
I hate to say this, but I'm at a 9.
Same.
Really?
On paper, it looks like it could fuck. Yeah.
Yo, and daddy doesn't make love. Yo, daddy books.
And if this is a pay-per-view that needs a match to go 30 minutes, 32 minutes,
yeah.
This is it.
Yeah.
Everybody gets shine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be interesting to see the dynamic between the Bucks and FTR working together to go against the Bang Bang Gang. I think I said this last week where... Bullet Club Gold taking on the Elite was a waste.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could have built a huge fucking storyline on that. And I feel like you could still do that with this, but that's not the story. The story is, are the Bucks and the FTR, are they going to get along, right? Mm-hmm. So the story isn't former Bullet Club versus newest Bullet Club, which that has to happen, but still, I absolutely adore Bullet Club Gold right now.
And there are no signs, and it makes no sense for the Young Bucks to kind of demote themselves by actually joining Bullet Club Gold. So this is legit going to be the 4-on-4, and I don't see it any
corner. Carter says, you wouldn't know what side the Bang Bang is coming from. There's going to be a whole lot of lead. It's going to be a shootout.
Coming from Arnold, it's more like card blade than switchblade.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. I've got Bullet Club Gold winning this.
I got Bullet Club Gold winning this, too, to sow more tension between the Elite, or, well, the Bucks and FTR.
And keep Bullet Club Gold shine.
Yeah.
Yeah, keep it going.
Yeah.
I'm a fan. Your favorite. Tell me if you wanted to see this match. Eddie Kingston and Katsuyori Shibata against Claudio Castagnoli and Wheeler Yuta. Wrestling tag match. Not hardcore. Wrestling tag match.
Six. You know why.
Not a fan of Eddie.
Not
much knowledge of Shibata.
Yeah.
Claudio, I mean, Blackpool.
I respect Shibata. What will be interesting, the reason why I'm at six and not at like a four or a three, is because Blackpool Combat Club without Moxley might be a little refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
Because Blackpool Combat Club should be good-ass wrestlers and one hardcore guy. But the hardcore guy is like turning all the good-ass wrestlers into hardcore guys.
Yeah.
No! Wheeler is supposed to be this badass savant apprentice of Daniel Bryan and Claudio. This should be a great technical fucking match.
It went from Italian Job to fucking Clockwork Orange with Moxley in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, keep Moxley away.
So, seven.
Okay.
Seven. I hope Shibata has a good showing. I hope Shibata doesn't hurt himself again. If you know, you know.
Arnold says he's at a 9 for the Bullet Club Gold match because he actually likes those guys.
Yeah. It's hard to not like them legitimately.
Yeah.
Either they're such assholes you can't help but laugh at them.
Yeah.
Or you legit like them because they have fucking chemistry and it's a brand new Bullet Club. Like, you can literally, this isn't the hand-me-down from Finn to AJ to Omega to Jay White to fucking Finley.
Yeah.
This is its own shit, and it looks like its own shit and acts like its own shit. It has its own chemistry. It has its own hand signal to differentiate it from Bullet Club of old.
Yeah.
So this is fresh. This is clean slate. I love it.
Yeah.
I'm
sorry.
I've got Castagnoli and Yuta winning because...
Me too.
Yeah.
Because Eddie teaming up with random people just to fight people he doesn't like...
Yeah.
Is wearing real thin, man.
Yeah.
Why Shibata? Shibata has no fucking skin in this game.
None.
But okay, I'll team with you so that you could have a partner to fight these two
Shibata
guys.
Shibata's the pure champion, and Yuta still want is still.
Whoop diddy doo.
Yeah.
But that's not a feud. That's a happenstance. Yeah.
And even then, Ring of Honor, we don't watch it. Yeah. I just know it from the last pay per view.
Yeah.
So, what's the best thing about Fogo de Chao?
The little cheese breads. Those are so good, dude.
You would say that.
What?
The meat.
Oh, well,
we get two meaty matches. Hobbs versus Miro.
Oh.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. That's right, because they had their little promo at All In. Yeah. Eight.
You felt like you kind of wanted to go higher, but didn't want to go too high.
Yeah.
I'm going to just go in for, fuck it, nine.
Really?
This is the moment where I want to say both, but really this is the moment for Hobbs to get to the next level.
Okay.
If he can have a good match with Miro and beat the ever-loving fuck out of each other, even better.
Big Ben slapping meat.
Yeah.
Big meaty Ben.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't think this is the match where Miro loses yet.
Okay.
But again, this is more about can Hobbs elevate himself to the next level?
Yeah. And I think we've seen Hobbs prove himself in the ring. Now he just needs to have a win. I think they're going to give it to Hobbs. I got Hobbs winning.
Yeah. If for whatever unfuckable reason, transition, that Orange Cassidy does not drop the belt to Moxley, his next match, he needs to drop it to fucking Hobbs.
Okay. Moxley versus Orange. Give me a number. Hold on. Is it a gimmick match?
No.
It's just...
International title.
So no DQ?
You know Moxie's going to do some fuckery, but okay. It's not labeled as such.
Okay.
Seven. The promo at the end, the stare down, sold me on something happening.
I'm at a five. And all five of that is for Orange.
For Orange, yeah. I don't blame you.
Yeah.
I want Moxie to win this, but it wouldn't shock me if Orange walks away with it. The belt needs to get off of him.
I just care about Orange, but I kind of agree with you that I think Orange needs to lose this.
Yeah.
But I also don't want Moxley to win. But yeah, I don't know. I'm just so torn on it, and I'm kind of like a big ball of bleh.
Omega versus Takeshita.
8.
7. I was about to say, you don't look happy with that 8.
7.
I'll say 8.
I'm at 7.
They've been building this up pretty well. Omega's the one guy from the Elite that I consistently have not lost any interest in. Like, I'm still a fan of Omega. I earned interest with Hangman. I'm losing interest in the Young Bucks, but I've always been consistent with Omega. And I think Omega can have a... I think Omega already wrestled Takeshita, if it wasn't mistaken, here in an episode of Dynamite.
Was it?
Or Takeshita wrestled when he first debuted the first couple of weeks.
Man, don't get me lying.
But I think this is going to be good.
Okay.
And storyline dictates that Omega deserves the win after Takeshita rolled him up last Sunday. Storyline continues.
Okay.
Maybe do it again.
Yeah.
I got Omega winning. I'm pleasantly interested in this match.
Okay.
Yeah. And you're at a 7.
I might be at an 8 if it wasn't for the... Oh, God. I don't think I could take it. Oh, God. I hate it. I hate it so much. It's not even ring music.
You can thank Aussie Open for that.
It's a fucking somebody sound
gave,
effect.
Somebody in Aussie Open gave Callis the didgeridoo, and that's it.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
I can't stand it. I hate it, man. Oh, Jesus. Arnold says, I'm going to Keshka for this match.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. MJF and Adam Cole.
Baby.
Against a mystery team for the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Championship.
Now, it won't be a mystery by the time the pay-per-view comes around, correct? Yeah. Because they're going to decide on
collision.
They're going to decide on collision, right?
I thought it was Rampage.
Oh, they're going to decide on Rampage who it is? Okay. All right. But we're going to know before the pay-per-view. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to go with a 8. A solid 8 on this one. And a lot of... The reason why I'm not like at a 9 or a 10 is because I don't know who it is.
Okay.
Right? It could just be, oh, yeah, you know...
The Hardys.
Yeah. It could be the Hardys. I'm like, oh, okay. Either way...
Reynolds and Silver. Yeah. They're cool, but...
Yeah, either...
Big show of the year. Nah.
Either way, I'm pretty sure they're going to retain their titles here.
Yeah.
Right? I don't think they're going to lose it.
If it's against the Kingdom.
Well, that's what I was going to say. The only thing that makes... interesting sense would be if it was the Kingdom. If it was the Kingdom, oh yeah, bump that shit up to a 9. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe even a 9.5, but it won't be a 10 because I'm pretty sure Better Than You, Baby, still keeping the titles. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Chris Statlander against Ruby Soho for the TBS title.
7. I really wish that there was more to that, and I think that's because of the lack of Statlander being on TV. When Jade was the champ, we saw Jade damn near every week. I don't feel like I've seen that much of Statlander. And the new and improved Statlander, I haven't seen enough of to know what was so new and what's so improved. I missed the boop. I missed that she's an alien. She does
the TBS champ in sign language. That's her new thing in the promo videos. But
that's enough? But I don't think that's enough. Like, it's neat. But why is she doing sign language? You're fucking
entitled person because you could listen.
No, but I need that pulling on my heartstrings video package of why she's even doing that.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't know
why. My little sister got in a wreck and now she can't hear, so I'm learning sign for her, and this is why I do what I do.
That's what I need.
Something.
Like, it's cool that she knows sign language and she's doing it, but. Okay, cool, man. That's neat, but I don't have the
you need the hook.
I don't have the emotional connection as to why, you know? So, yeah.
7 on paper, I think is going to be good. This is another example of not enough time in the oven because you had priorities the week before.
Yeah.
You know? I've got Statlander winning. I don't see her losing this anytime soon either.
You know what? Ruby wins it. Ruby wins it.
Huh.
That can sweep under the rug Statlander as a transitional champ. And now we have Ruby, who's, I guess, breaking away from the Outcasts, and the Outcasts are gonna go
that
away.
That would drive Toni Storm crazier.
Yes.
That she's the one out of the group that doesn't have gold right now.
Yes.
Even though she was the first one in the group to have gold.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And that splits all three of them up, and they go their different ways. You got the 60s chick, the Brit, and then the punk. Who is...
Might go emo.
Might go emo. Yeah. Might change up a little something, something. Yeah. She needs to change something. She can't just get the title and then be the same old boring-ass Ruby Soho that she's been. She needs to do something else. Yeah. Right? But hopefully this helps her transition.
Luchasaurus versus Darby Allin for the TNT title. With Christian in tow.
6.
5.
Okay. I
they did too good of a job. I'm already to the point that I think Christian is the champion. He should be fighting Christian.
There you
Luchasaurus go. Luchasaurus has become the third party, and he's the champ.
Yeah.
How?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't. No. Yeah, I would like to see more of Christian, maybe even by himself, being an asshole with somebody that can be a heavy.
Yeah.
Not the delusional one who's carrying the title for somebody else that actually won it, but that somebody else that actually won it doesn't do or say anything. Especially since we know that he can. Like, I feel like Luchasaurus has lost personality breaking away from Jungle Boy.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah.
So, rumor has it.
Y'all forgot to talk about Coffin Match. Oh, yeah.
There was a Coffin Match.
Yeah, yeah, Sting and Darby versus Swerve and AR.
Yeah.
Well, no, it wasn't
Swerve
AR.
Swerve and Christian.
That's right, it was Swerve and Christian. Yeah, that's right. But
Darby killed himself.
Swerve lost because he got put in the thing. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
He lost eventually. Like, his dreads were still hanging out, but then he pulled them in.
Yeah.
And so, or they got cut. But
yeah.
So, okay, so it happened.
It happened. Okay.
Yeah.
It was good. It was good. There was a lot of nice little car wrecks in that match, though. Yeah.
Rumor has it, from the internets with a Z, the main event of this show was supposed to be CM Punk versus Ricky Starks for the Real World's Championship.
Ooh.
Now you tell me, without CM Punk on this card, MJF Cole for the Ring of Honor tag titles, not the AEW titles. Chris Statlander versus Ruby Soho, Luchasaurus versus Darby Allin, Orange Cassidy versus Jon Moxley. What is the last match of the night? What is your main event?
Shit.
Remember, in the beginning, no AEW world title, no AEW tag titles will be defended. You have mid-card stuff and belts from a secondary promotion that you have to pay for to watch. What's ending your show?
If it does wind up being the Kingdom, it's got to be Kingdom versus Better Than You, Bebe. If it's not the Kingdom and some other, like, it's Silver and Reynolds, right? No, that's definitely not ending the show. But I don't know what else would end it. Maybe the women's title?
Oh, fuck no. I would have to say, just because of brands, Cassidy and Moxley. Moxley's your biggest, most valuable draw from WWE. Cassidy is one of your top five, if not top three, homegrown characters that fans are willingly or conditionally behind.
Yeah.
It has to be that. I cannot sit here as a wrestling fan and condone the idea of the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Championships main eventing the AEW established annual flagship pay-per-view of the year. It makes no fucking sense. to me.
Arnold says the main event should be the 8-man tag or Mox versus OC.
Ooh, the 8-man. I didn't even think about that. But there's no titles to be defended. And those are AEW tag champions in that match.
Yeah.
I didn't think about
so
that.
So you put the tag champs who aren't defending the tag titles in the main event, or you put the world champ who's not defending the world championship in the main event.
Oof. I would think by default it would have to be MJF and Cole, regardless of who the team is.
Yeah.
Their story has the most legs on it. You know, this is the equivalent of Sammy and Kevin versus the Usos main eventing near night one of WrestleMania,
right,
because
right.
the story dictates it.
Yeah.
Worthy of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it would have to be MJF and Cole, but what they're defending is just, I just perplexes me.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't ROH All Out.
Are there any AEW championships besides the Orange Cassidy one that are being defended?
Mid-card. TNT for the boys, TBS for the girls, and the international title is technically a mid-card title.
Who's the TNT one again? Remind me.
Luchasaurus.
Oh, yeah, that's not going to end it.
Christian. It's not going to end it.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I don't know what would be the main event. I mean, you had to have your world champ on the main event. That's probably got to be it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Hmm.
Wow.
Overall, what's your number?
So, I rated a lot of stuff, 8 to 9, maybe even a couple of 7s on there, for a pay-per-view that I was literally sitting on, like, Tuesday of this week saying, man, I don't know if I even really care to plunk down another $50 2 weeks in a row.
How much is this pay-per-view worth? You paid 50 last week.
I did.
Did you get $50 worth?
Yes.
Did you get more than $50
worth? Yes.
What would you have paid? It's easy for
I
you to ask that
70.
Question because you have more people coming.
I could have paid 70 for that show, and I would have been okay.
How much are you paying for
this show? 30?
30?
30?
20 at the most, and that's in HD.
Okay.
I'm at like a fucking 6.
I really want to see Bang Bang Gang, man. And I really want to see Shane Taylor. But, oh, man, I don't know.
So,
What makes it even worse, what exacerbates it, is that it's back-to-back weekends.
Yeah.
You really want me to drop $100 for one really, really good show and one, maybe not, but it might sneak up
that
on you
kind of
show?
That should have been the buy one, get one. You get All Out for free because you already spent $50-$60 on All In.
Yeah.
Dude, the fact that half of the tickets for this show are still available right now on the first-hand market boggles me. This was the show that sold out fucking 30 minutes.
Yeah, but it's in Chicago with no Punk.
That's so fucking dumb.
Yeah, I know.
That's so dumb. And I'm not talking about what happened. I'm talking about the handling of it. And by that, I mean Tony Khan's dad owns the Jaguars. He owns a soccer team. Can't he, like, come up enough with this idea that I'm about to give you that CM Punk and or Jack Perry can appeal the investigation and they cannot be suspended until the investigation is concluded? So you can at least whore out CM Punk in his hometown to sell you another 10,000 tickets. And then once he does his job on Sunday, then you can be like, you know what? All right, you need 6 weeks to get the fuck off. Jack Perry, you're getting fired. Fuck the fuck off. Like, you can't use your brain to at least keep your guy in Chicago. That crowd's going to completely take over that fucking show. I want to watch the world burn.
Do you really think that that's what's going to happen? That there's still enough goodwill, even in Chicago, for CM Punk, that they're going to take over the show and riot because Punk's not on the show?
Or, no.
No?
No. And the reason why, not to toot my own horn, we loved CM Punk's first promo when he first debuted in AEW.
Yeah.
United Center, 18,000 people. Blah, 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 blah. Collision. I was expecting 18,000 people. There was 8. So already damage has been done. Mm-hmm. You're going back to Chicago again Wednesday at the Hoffman Estates in the Katy of Chicago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where you need fucking 3 trains and an Uber and like a fucking joint to get there. And then you're going Saturday, the night before, to United Center, the big arena.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're doing the pay-per-view on Sunday. it's a 1-2 punch of CM Punk's aura has been damaged.
Diminished.
Yeah. And the territory itself is being diminished. You're oversaturating the market. Like, how many tickets do you expect fans to buy?
Right.
And then they're doing fucking, isn't there a pay-per-view in Chicago? WWE, October?
Is there?
I think so. Yeah, or Indy, or something like that. They've oversaturated the market. You had the conversation earlier about, yeah, you should do the Wembley and then Chicago the next week. The itinerary that I would lay out is very simple. The week of All In, you have Dynamite and Rampage in Manchester. You have Collision in Liverpool. And then you have All In at London. So you're covering a lot of bases. You have fresh audiences. You have live. You can't do it live. You can tape it. But you'll have a fresh audience, a huge audience that you've never entertained before. So you'll have that. And then the week after that, the week of All Out in Chicago, you only have All Out in Chicago. So that your audience hasn't been burned out. Survivor Series is in Chicago. Yeah. So it's just this oversaturation of the market and diminishing returns on what you've done to CM Punk's characters.
Well, I don't know about if it's what you've done to CM Punk. I think it's what CM Punk has done to CM Punk's character. Arnold also brought up in the live chat that there wasn't anybody chanting for CM Punk on Dynamite. And they were in Chicago.
Yeah.
See, I know... But
then again, there weren't a lot of people there either. All the entire ceiling was tarped off, and half of the arena was tarped off on the lower bowl. You could see it during Moxley's entrance through the crowd. There was a lot of that arena that was tapered off. And it's not even that big of an arena compared to Allstate Arena.
So if you were TK and you had a magic wand and you had the foresight and the hindsight, where would you put All Out? If you had to do All In, All Out, back-to-back, UK holiday weekend, American holiday weekend, where in America do you put All Out to sell out an arena? You just got done selling out a fucking stadium the week before. Where are you selling out an arena the week after?
This is going to be crazy. I would do it again.
In London?
No. I would sell out Soldier Field in Chicago, where the Bears play football. But for that to happen, that would be the only show of the year AEW goes to Chicago for.
So if that's the Wembley and then Chicago back-to-back.
Stadiums. If that's the only show of the year
that Chicago... They can't even sell half of the fucking arena now. You're talking about them selling out a football field?
Again, that's because they have 3 nights there for the week of All In. And then they had another night 2 months before in Collision, and then they're having another night in fucking October going back to Chicago because they tend to do that. If you're not oversaturating your market, if AEW only has one show you go to, everyone all around right. the area, all Detroit, right, Indianapolis, all right, they're
that,
going
that, to... That begs the question then. If you are going to do that, the problem is, where the fuck are you putting Dynamite, Rampage, and Collision?
WWE has been doing this for over 25 years.
Okay.
It wasn't until a year or maybe like before COVID, 2 or 3 years before COVID, that they started doing WrestleMania weekends.
Okay.
Where it was Raw, where it was SmackDown, WrestleMania, Raw, all in the same spot. Mm-hmm. But then they wouldn't go back for 8 months. Or it was 8 or 9 months before that they went and announced, oh, hey, by the way, we're going to bust a nut in WrestleMania weekend here all over your city. They didn't oversaturate their market all the time.
So you're not talking about oversaturation in the short term. You're talking about oversaturation in the year.
Yeah.
Okay. So you would
Dynamite in LA, fucking Collision in fucking New York, and then All Out in Chicago. You the only show a year you do in Chicago is All Out. That's
a lot of traveling. Ooh, you gonna be wearing out some people those 2 weeks.
So Dynamite's on Wednesday. LA to Chicago, you can rest. Saturday night's Collision or Saturday afternoon Collision from New York to Chicago, they'll be fine. They travel. Or guess what? Yeah. They need to learn how to travel if they want to be like WWE, because yeah. WWE does it 5 days a week.
Arnold says the dichotomy of 81,000 fans on Sunday and not even half of a regular arena on Wednesday is wild.
Yes.
What's up, Hector? Hector's in the live chat. Yeah, I agree.
If I were to interrupt my phone's recording and try to Google the attendance for last night in Dynamite, would probably be maybe 8,000 people. Seven. Poof. And that's your established market. Remember, All In sold 14,000 tickets in 45 seconds.
Yeah.
And here we are now that you've either worn out your audience or you've insulted your audience's favorite wrestler, that they're not speaking by booing. They're not speaking by chanting his name. They're speaking with their wallet by not buying a fucking ticket.
Yeah.
That's how they're speaking now. Because if MJF was so good of a wrestler, or if his promos have been so good, or if his storyline's been so good, he shouldn't have a problem selling out All Out. The rest of the card shouldn't have a problem selling out All Out. But that's what happens when you book a pay-per-view a week in advance. It's just like round two of Sex, that you just busted that large load, and you ain't got a lot of energy, and you ain't got a lot of roster, and you ain't got a lot of time.
And that goes back to my idea that I had said, you know, earlier in the show, where it's like, you shouldn't treat this as a separate pay-per-view with separate...
Split it half and half.
Yeah. Yeah. All In and All Out is a one event that spans 7 days.
Yeah.
So you go in on Sunday, you go out on the following Sunday, and it's boom. This entire card, there's 10 matches, 5 on one, 5 on the other. You realize there was 11 matches?
All In.
Had 11 matches. Bro, you could have split that up. 6 and 5.
No, you could have made more because there were still a lot of people missing. You didn't have Statlander defending.
Okay, fair.
You know?
So you didn't have 7 and 7.
Miro.
Seven matches. Seven. Okay, 14.
Yeah.
But it's all part of the same event, just split over 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. And treat them all like you're building up the same.
Mm-hmm.
Hoo-wee. Okay. Arnold says, I think they actually started in 2017 with Houston when they did SmackDown, War Games, Survivor Series, and then Raw here. I mean, I think they've done that before then, too. I remember going to WrestleMania 24, and then Raw the next night was there in Orlando.
Yeah.
That's when Ric Flair had
his retirement speech. But the SmackDown before wasn't.
The SmackDown after was. Because SmackDown was on Tuesdays. It was Mania Sunday, Raw Monday.
It had moved on. It had left Florida Tuesday. It was somewhere else. Yeah. The Raw was in The Raw was in Orlando. SmackDown, no. SmackDown was gone. Yeah, SmackDown was already gone. Yeah. WrestleMania 34 in Orlando had SmackDown on Friday. TakeOver on Saturday with the Hall of Fame. WrestleMania on Sunday. Raw on Monday. All in New Orleans. So it's been a couple of years, but it's not novel. But you can learn from it. You know, they don't go to New Orleans.
Was it SmackDown before WrestleMania 17 in Houston too?
No.
Okay.
No. And the Raw after WrestleMania was in El Paso. I know that because that was the night where they had Steve Austin and The Rock in a steel cage. Triple H breaks in and he sides with Stone Cold. And I remember all that shit. My fucking burn.
All right. Okay. Boom. That's All Out.
One more thing.
Yes.
So we mentioned it in passing.
Yeah.
NWA over the weekend had a pair of nights, and they did their own stuff. Camille, 3 years of being NWA's champion, defending the belt 46 times before finally losing it. She's now a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
Tyrus lost the NWA men's title to EC3. Mm-hmm. EC3 is the new champion, and because of the stipulation, Tyrus is retiring from wrestling. Does EC3 as an NWA world's champion tickle your pickle enough to try to watch NWA for free on YouTube?
No.
Too much, we feasting on too much wrestling. Every ship is raising on the tide. There's too much to choose from. You can only have 8 meats at Fogo, not 12.
There's a little bit of that, but there's also a lot more of it. My first thought, it wasn't that. My first thought is, cool, you traded in a fat Tyrus for a buff Tyrus. That's all you did.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did not see that one coming.
They both control their own narrative.
Fuck.
I mean, you may, like, if you put EC3 on Fox and Friends, I wouldn't know the difference between him and Tyrus. I'm pretty sure they'll say the exact same damn things.
Yeah.
So, no, fuck EC3.
Okay. Okay, just throw it out there.
Yeah, he's muscle Tyrus. That's all he is.
Do you have anything else before we go?
Still, September 16th is the next UPW show. Baycliff, Texas. Yes, we are, what was the match? I'm terrible at this.
Ransom.
Yeah,
versus.
Dill Dempsey.
Dill Dempsey.
Did I talk about this last time?
It was the pickle, yes.
It's going to be three stages of hell. I did talk about that last time. Okay, cool.
More to come in the future, which what you said.
Yeah.
And it's only been a week, so
there's
not much future.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so yeah, we didn't establish what the three stages were.
Yeah.
That's what it was. I was like, what was it that I said that I haven't said yet? Okay, match number one, fall number one, I guess you could say, is just regular one-on-one. That's it.
Shocker.
Yeah. Number two is going to be a, oh shit, now I don't even remember. Texas, I think they're calling it like a Texas street fight. So okay. That's two is a Texas street fight. What was three? Jesus Christ, man.
Steel cage?
No.
Buried alive?
No.
Strap?
No.
Cage?
No.
Ladder?
No.
Bull rope?
Maybe.
Cage?
I don't know, man. I need to. I should have looked it up before we came on air because I completely forgot until you said all this shit.
Cage?
But anyway, we're going to have a UPW Cruiserweight Championship. It's going to be a Don
Mom
Vega.
Mom on a pole match?
A Don Vega versus Chris Lyons. Okay. And we're going to have some women's wrestling for the first time in a real long time at UPW. So that's going to be cool. It's going to be Angel Blue versus Denise Day. So yeah, cool. Haven't had women's wrestling in probably might more than a year.
Wow.
So yeah.
That's it. That's the show, man.
Yes.
That's everything.
Well then, adios, my friends. Keep it classy.